From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. On March 2nd, Jameel Shaw Jr. was gunned down outside his home in South Central Los Angeles. He was a 17-year-old high school football star, and his death was widely mourned in the city. The man accused in the fatal shooting is Pedro Espinoza, an alleged gang member. Prosecutors say he's also in the United States illegally. Outcry over the killing and Espinoza's immigration status has been enormous. It's pitted blacks against Latinos, politicians against immigration activists. Now Shaw's family is fighting to pass a measure called Jameel's Law. The proposed law would allow the Los Angeles police to ask crime suspects about their immigration status. In a few minutes, we'll talk to a student activist who opposes the legislation. But now we have two of its staunchest supporters, the father and mother of the young man who was killed. Army Sergeant Anita Shaw and Jameel Shaw Sr. Thank you both for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Now, Mr. Shaw, where were you when your son was killed?
I was in the house. I had just talked to him like 5 minutes before that. And he told me he was right around the corner. He'd be home in like 5 minutes. And then a couple minutes later, I heard the gunshot. Ran outside and saw him laying dead, already dead, in the street.
And Sergeant Shaw, where were you?
I was in Baghdad, Iraq.
Serving?
Yes, serving the Army, serving the country.
When did you find out your son had been killed?
I found out that Monday.
Now, Mr. Shaw, there's something called Special Order 40 in Los Angeles, and it says the Los Angeles police officers can't stop people solely to ask about their immigration status. How would Jameel's Law change that order?
Well, it would give the police the right that they have a gang database. They have a base in California called Cal Gangs, and in that base they have all the hardcore gang bangers and what they've been wanted for and everything they've done and, you know, the immigration status. I mean, everything is in there. Plus the police department know these guys from sight. You know, a lot of them been deported. They should have been deported, different things like that. So it gives the police the right to just go after them directly. You know, you don't have to wait until they kill somebody or until they commit a crime. You can do it like preventive maintenance. You go in there and you get them before they kill someone. The way it is now, the LAPD can't ask someone solely upon that, but if you get put over for expired registration, they can ask everybody, no matter what color you are. You know, are you illegally in the United States? Are you a U.S. citizen? You don't have to profile just with Latinos or Asians. You just ask every person that you pull over for any reason. You can ask them driver's license, registration, proof of insurance, and are you a citizen of the United States?
Now, Sergeant Shaw, some people say that there will be racial profiling, and in addition to that, that your crusade, although your son was brutally murdered, could really increase the tensions between blacks and Latinos. How do you feel about that?
I don't think that's true. I don't think it could get any worse than where it is at right now. Because, like Jameel said, we target everyone. If the police target everyone, then how would it be racial profiling?
Plus, on top of that, we're only after illegal alien gangbangers. We're not targeting Latinos in general. We're not targeting illegal immigrants that are trying to make it better for themselves. I mean, that's not what we're doing. We're targeting illegal alien gangbangers, you know, because this guy was a legal alien. He was in the country illegally. He had a long rap sheet. He had just got out of jail for assault with a deadly weapon, resisting arrest. 28 hours, he got back on the streets and assembled a whole crew, you know. So we know this came from the shot callers in prison. There's no way this guy, being 19, was able to get out in 24 hours and get guns, cars, drivers, a crew of people all in 24 hours. So we know there's a big problem, you know, and this guy saw my son because he was black. He saw this black kid walking on a quiet street, and he was out there looking for blacks to kill anyway, so he just stumbled up on my son. But at the same time, he stumbled up on public outcry. This has been going on before my son was murdered. This isn't the first time. It's just been disguised, you know. And people are waking up and realizing that there are people out there today that are killing people because of their skin color.
And now, Sergeant Shaw, I want to ask you a sensitive question. There is a blog called Street Gangs Journal that says your son might have been what's called a claimer for the Roland 20s NHB gang, part of the Bloods. And a claimer is someone who's not active in a gang but who identifies with it. And there are also, according to some anti-gang activists, gang-related comments on your son's MySpace page and a photo of him allegedly throwing up a gang sign. So do you think your son was part of a gang and that this killing was a gang issue, not an immigration issue?
No, I don't. I don't think in no way, no how that my son was in a gang.
What do you think about the issue? In addition, there's now a coalition of groups, including Project Islamic Hope and the Latino and African American Leadership Alliance. They held an event to pressure MySpace to take down all sites that have gang images or texts. And they're doing it, saying that linking it to your son's death, saying that this should be a general preventative measure. What do you think about that being one way of reacting to your son's death?
I think that's a good thing, because no one can prove to me, I don't know how they prove it to anyone else, that he actually wrote, that was actually his MySpace page.
Yeah.
Mr. Shaw, I'm going to ask you the same thing. I mean, do you believe that your son's killing was gang-related in the sense that he was a claimer or a member of a gang?
No, that's ludicrous. You know, from the very beginning, there have been people that have been trying to label this as a gang crime because they don't want to accept the fact that he was killed because he was black. You know, now, you know, MySpace page that, you know, no one has proven that he even did it. The pictures go with the words. He wrote the words. It's just people's opinion, and they don't understand this is about facts, that my son was killed by a legal alien gangbanger that was identified and documented in the database, had a long jail sentence, been in the juvenile authorities. You know, he's just been a problem from the very beginning. And then my son was an athlete, documented athlete, that's been cleared by the police chief, the sheriff department. They've been to jail, never been in a gang profile, never been suspended from school. He was doing the right thing. He was coming home. He wasn't out there running the streets. Espinoza, on the other hand, was in that database. Why aren't all these guys going after Espinoza and trying to show people what's going on with illegal alien gangbangers? But they need a motive, and so they're going to just fabricate anything. They're just grabbing at straws just to bring my son down so they can stop the Special Order 40, Jamil's Law, and anything that represents good over evil.
Sergeant, last week the prosecutor in charge of your son's case was removed, and some people say it's because that prosecutor wouldn't charge Espinoza with a hate crime. Mr. Shaw, you're quoted as saying the prosecutor was pro-gang. Now, I'm going to ask you both that question. Sergeant Shaw first. Do you think that it's key that Espinoza be charged with a hate crime?
I think it's key that he be charged with a hate crime and also with the other charges that they have against him, too.
Mr. Shaw?
Yeah, that's right, because see, Pedro Espinoza was identified, documented, tattoos all over his body that's, you know, that's stating that he's in 18th Street. He's been in jail before for being in 18th Street problems. You know, he's been carrying around firearms pretty much his whole life. You know, by him being in the juvenile, in all these different penal institutions, you know, they keep him segregated, and all they do is have hate. You know, they just hate each other. So being that he just got the county jail, all he was talking about was hate. So, you know, they got him set up with a crew. He got out, and he was able to show how much he hates black people, you know. And plus, we already know he's in the game. We don't want to either or. We want him to have hate crime added, because when he saw my son, all he saw was this black guy walking down the street.
Mr. Shaw, let me put the focus back on Jamil's Law. There is a proposal by an L.A. City Councilman, Dennis Zine, who wants to change some aspects of Special Order 40, but you specifically are starting a signature drive to get a public vote on Jamil's Law. What's the difference between Dennis Zine's proposal and yours?
Well, Dennis Zine's proposal wants you to wait until they commit a crime before you can ask them about their immigration status. You know, that's crazy, because Pedro Espinoza has been in jail since he was 12 years old, in and out, just violent act after violent act. And he never really got in trouble. No one never checked him to see was he in the country illegally. ICE never checked it out, Sheriff's Department. So we know that didn't work. The day he got out, He had just went in for assault with a deadly weapon, which was a gun, resisting arrest, and they still never checked. So they waited until now that he's murdered somebody, which was my son. Now all of a sudden they want to check him to make sure if he's here or not. If they would have did their job March the 1st, he would have been deported. He would have never murdered my son or anybody else's son. It's apparent that this guy has done that before. There's no way you can walk up on somebody clearly because they're black and just kill them just because they're there. You know, that's crazy. And we're not going to take it. This is a U.S. citizen he killed. He didn't just kill anybody. He's not from here. He's illegal. He's a legal alien. My son was a U.S. citizen, deserved every right to be where he was at, to chase the American dream. They're trying to get the American dream, but we're entitled to it. We're Americans. Only thing my son did was come home. He was three houses from his front door. He was just coming in the house like every American citizen to be able to do. They shouldn't be killed by illegal alien gangbangers on their street solely because they're black.
Sergeant Shaw, you have returned to the U.S. in the wake of your son's death. You've got 120 days to get 74,000 signatures from registered L.A. voters to get this item on the ballot. Do you think you can do it?
Yes, I think I can do it because so far, right now we're waiting for the petition to arrive, and we have already started asking people, are you for it? Everyone we talk to, they're for getting the signatures. They even talk about they're going to help us. So, yes, I do believe I can get it done. We can get it done.
Well, Mr. Shaw and Sergeant Shaw, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jameel Shaw Sr. and Sergeant Anita Shaw are the parents of the late Jameel Shaw Jr. They are working to pass a law that requires LAPD officers to help enforce federal immigration laws. This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We just spoke with the parents of a slain high school football star in Los Angeles. They're trying to pass an initiative called Jameel's Law, which would change the way Los Angeles police could question people about their immigration status. If Jameel's Law passes, could it make it harder to get undocumented immigrants to report crimes? And could it hurt immigrants who are here legally? For more, we've got Furman Vasquez. He's a sophomore at California State University in Los Angeles. He's also the president of Students United to Reach Goals in Education at California State University, or SEARCH. SEARCH wants to create open dialogue around immigration issues. And Furman, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you're at Cal State LA and you're majoring in political science, but tell us how you came to the U.S. first.
My parents came as a result of the Civil War in the 1980s, and I myself came here. I crossed three borders to get here when I was 11.
So from El Salvador originally?
Yes. I came here in fifth grade.
And were you legal status at that time?
No.
How did you manage to get legal status to, you know, be able to go to college and all that?
So, you know, throughout high school, I did everything I had to do, everything teachers told me, everything counselors told me, community leaders, but I was undocumented. So when I got to college, I couldn't apply for financial aid, and it was very difficult for me to pursue a higher education and pursue my dreams just because I didn't have a 9-digit Social Security number.
Let's turn to the case of Jameel Shaw. There are plenty of immigrants who are legal immigrants from Mexico, Latin America, other places in the world, as well as people like yourself who are able to get legal status and become permanent residents here. Do you think that this is going to cause tensions that are really going to divide blacks and Latinos in Los Angeles?
I think we cannot. There's already division within our community. And so, but I think the bigger issue with Jameel's law is that, you know, this law can eliminate other issues that I think are critical to our community. And that is really that we're talking here about when we use the word illegal immigrants and illegal aliens, you know, images arise in people's minds. And so, you know, Espinosa's story becomes my story. And I think that's the danger that I may be judged because of what he did. And so that's why I'm against it, because there's a very thin line, and this is a very sensitive issue. I agree that, you know, if Espinosa shot Jameel and he's found guilty, then he should be punished, right? But I think what's at stake here is that, you know, we need to talk about the broader issues that are at stake here. And that really is that a lot of undocumented students and workers can be targeted by that police, because we cannot deny that racial profiling is going to exist if this law is passed.
So what do you hope can come out of this situation? It's obviously a tragedy. There's the potential for this to be divisive no matter what happens with this specific law or with the other proposal by the city council. So your student group is dedicated to building bridges. How are you going to go about trying to do that?
You know, I think this is a great opportunity for brown and black to come together to solve some of the common problems that we face. For example, the lack of opportunities, lack of resources in our school system, a lot of students are not going to college. And so we face all these common problems on healthcare and education. And so I think this is a great opportunity to come together and solve some of the common problems that we have. And the way we approach it in search is that we say, you know, let's get to know each other. Let's get to know our stories and see that we are all connected here. And that if we are all connected, then we can move forward pushing an agenda that is not divisive, but rather, you know, just working together to fix things.
Some people are saying that Jameel Shaw Jr. might have been affiliated with a rival gang. Does that affect how you feel about his death or about the actions that are being taken?
There's no, like, sufficient proof to prove that he was or that he wasn't. So my thing is that I'm not going to judge him. I know it's a tragedy, but I want to take this opportunity. And so instead of fighting against each other and being, instead of creating more divisions, we can come together around a common purpose.
Now, some activists are also calling for a ban on all gang-related activity on MySpace. So do you think that that's something that would be good for younger people in Los Angeles as well as across the country?
I think it's a start. You know, I think it's good that those gang signs or gang activity on MySpace be taken out. But I think that the broader problem is that how are we going to solve this issue of gang violence in our communities? And that's what I want to talk about. But the root of the problem, because, you know, if we deport every gang member, right, what happened was that, you know, back in the 90s, a lot of gang members were deported to El Salvador and Central America, but that did not solve the problem. The problem was just transformed to another place. And what happened was that the gang grew more and more. And so I think the problem is really how we come together and solve it. And we can begin to solve it by sharing our stories and beginning to know that we need to work together, but also, you know, creating gang prevention programs that a lot of young people do not have to go through, the harassment that exists in our communities by gang members.
You know, here's something that comes to mind for me. You're someone who is living the American dream and who's had to fight pretty hard to get to that point. But how much can someone like you really do to work on people who have a very different life, people who are gang members, regardless of color? Do you think that people in your generation who are students, who are workers, who are trying to play by the rules, can really have a dialogue with people who have given up on leading a law-abiding life?
I certainly think we can. I think it's all a matter of first, listening to people. You know, we live in a country that we don't listen to each other and that we don't really take into account other people's opinion. And that's where we began. You know, we need to listen to the Shaw family and we need to listen to different opinions and then make up our mind about how is it that we're going to solve some of the problems that we face. And that, again, you know, we're all united in this. And I think that we can take this opportunity to really solve some of the underlying root causes of the problems that exist in our communities.
Furman, thank you.
Thank you.
Furman Vasquez is a student at Cal State University in Los Angeles and the president of Students United to Reach Goals in Education. He joined me in the studios of NPR West right here in Culver City, California.